Kingdom Up Radio, episode 11, with your host, Crash Dust.
And A13 Error on the steps.
Yeah, because A13 Error feels like, being family.
Yep.
Alright, well, as you all may know, if anyone actually listens, is that I just got back from Hope, and, oh, shit, I'm getting crammed from Reflex is not ending.
Okay, well, tell Reflex to get on the line.
Alright, well, then you talk while I tell him to get on the fucking line.
Okay, so Crash Dust was away at Hope like a noob. Hope's for losers.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, anyway, some people might know that me and DJ Mollusk were going to do the Fifth Despair show for people that couldn't make it to Hope. And as those people that might know also know that we didn't do it, mainly because we didn't have anything to talk about.
Going to do what?
We didn't have anything to talk about.
So what were you going to do for that?
We were going to do a show for people that weren't at Hope called The Fifth Despair.
Oh.
Yeah. So that would have been cool to do, but we were sitting there for like a day trying to think of something, and we couldn't think of anything. We decided not to. Mm. So yeah, that's why that never happened.
Alright, well, I told Reebok to come, so, yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Alright, so I'll tell my story. Oh.
Well, before you start that, why don't we just wait for him?
Alright,
if anyone wants to give us an email, and you don't already know, it's deaconfradio@gmail.com. If you want to give me an email, this is very good to set up. This should be something like a13error@gmail.com.
And you got an invite?
Yeah, I got an invite, but, okay, Conqueror doesn't work with Gmail. You try and go to Gmail with Conqueror, it's like, your web browser isn't supported.
So you use Mozilla?
Yeah, I use Mozilla to go to Yahoo to change the invite to, like, what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go to send it to Gmail so that I can register it, it just locks up. And, well, it doesn't lock up, it just doesn't do anything. It just sits there and looks at it. That was very cool.
Yeah, well, we're waiting for Reflex. I don't think he's
coming. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Reflex, you're here. Right.
So what's up?
Oh, okay.
Not much. We were hoping you'd show up. You could talk about your scripting stuff, and you could talk about Hope.
Well, what specifically do you want to know about scripting?
Well, just, like a rundown of what you do and what's different and why PHP is so freaking hard.
PHP isn't hard. PHP is extremely easy as a language. There are just thousands and thousands of functions that you have to learn.
Well, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we can listen to Crash just talk about Hope for like half an hour.
Yeah, sure, if you want me to.
Or Reflex, you want to talk about that stuff first?
Sure.
Alright.
PHP stands for PHP Hypertextual Processor. It's a palindromic acronym, which is really gay. It's like GNU stands for GNU's not Unix.
Right.
Anyway, PHP was initially a good idea, but for the last year and a half, 2 years, everybody's been submitting functions. So there are literally thousands of little functions that do every little tiny little thing.
Unlike Perl, where enough people look over and take out the bad stuff, right?
Yeah. Now, Perl has a cult following, which is really strange. There are only a couple languages that have such a cult following. One of them is QBasic.
Would that be why your AIM name is QBasic or something?
Yeah, that would be it. I learned QBasic like 8 years ago, and I still dabble in it. But, so people, they're Perl nuts, and they'll always be Perl nuts. You can't remove them from the Perl community. It's impossible.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah?
What's the QBasic compiler you recommend for Linux?
There is none. I don't know. There was something called XBasic or Basic X a while ago that was supposed to be QBasic compatible, but I have never used it.
Is there a basic compiler in
just an interpreter. And you could buy, for lots of money, QuickBasic 4.5 from Microsoft. That was the compiler, and you could make executables with it. Mm-hmm. And that cost $98.
Oh, shit.
I actually have a receipt I found from somebody who actually paid for it. And so I could mount it on my wall. It's a receipt for $98 for QuickBasic.
Okay.
But, yeah, it can make executables,
mm-hmm.
and but they're slow and require a specific library.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the QB run something or other dot lib. But they're executables and they run, and, you know.
So, there is not really one for Linux, and BASIC is a Windows or DOS language.
Well, QBASIC is, yeah. There are a bunch of different kinds of BASIC. Like, for example, there's PowerBASIC.
Right.
Which claims it can get executables to run as fast, if not faster, than C-compiled executables. And they have all these weird things. They have pointers in there, and they've modified the language slightly. And so there are basics that you can get for Linux or for any distribution, really.
Right.
And there was something called Euphoria, I believe, which used to be a cross-platform BASIC version. And it was slightly different from QBASIC and didn't really like QBASIC code, but it was supposed to work.
Alright. Okay, I'll look it around.
A place I used to hang out a lot is QBASICnews.com. That's a great forum. Just go on there and ask a question.
Okay. Now
back to Perl?
Yeah, back to Perl. Okay.
Now, Perl can be obfuscated. You can make your code look completely abnormal and strange and unreadable. It's just one of the weird things about Perl. You can have an entire program with no words.
Okay.
It's just weird. It's like, I found some source code a while ago for how to do RSA encryption in Perl, and it's 4 lines, and I have no idea what it means.
So it has no letters, it's all
weird, strange numbers and like
characters
and slashes and weird regular expressions. It's just weird.
Huh.
But it works.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn Perl, and if anyone is interested in learning it, I recommend the Learning Perl in 21 Days book. It explains things like below a new level, so it's easy to pick up. Well, to an extent.
Well, Perl has a definitive book for it. Larry Wall, the inventor of Perl, actually wrote a book called Programming Perl. And that's the definitive reference guide if you ever need to know Perl, because, like, PHP has awesome online documentation. Perl, not so much. If you ever need to, like, look up, well, what does this function do or something, you're going to just have to find somebody's site where they posted it already. Or buy Programming Perl and look it up in the book. Whereas PHP, if you need to know what a function does, you go to php.net and do a search. And cool thing about PHP's documentation, they have user-submitted notes for each function. And so if somebody finds, well, this function doesn't work under these circumstances, and they post, well, I've made my own function which does this instead. And so you can really solve a lot of problems that way if you're just not using a function right. You know, somebody else has already done it and they posted it there.
Are there a lot of people on there that are submitting enough stuff so that it's like you can answer your question in just a few seconds?
Yeah, most documentation items have at least one submission where somebody said, well, this doesn't work for in this case or whatever. So there are a big group of PHP guys going for it. There are actually PHP groups which have conventions and get together and program Perl. Or PHP, rather.
at, what, 6:30? You just got up and, well, what time did you go to bed? Because I went to bed at 6 and got up at 5 p.m. That was pretty crazy. I've never woken up that late. So.
Well, the sun was up. I'm not sure when.
Yeah, after our last 2600 meeting, I believe I was in the IRC channel like till 10 a.m. and you're trying to explain something to me in Pearl. And before, what was it you were trying to try to tell me something like really easy, like move this file from here to here, and I couldn't comprehend what you were saying. Like you told me pretty much the whole entire command to move it. I was like, I don't know. So I go outside, the sun's up. I don't know what that's about, but
take a return.
Okay, probably. So, back on topic.
Back on topic.
What topic? We don't have a topic.
We're just talking about crazy programming stuff.
Okay, back on topic. PHP is an interpreted HTML format. It's very strange. Which means if you have PHP installed, you can just insert a ?PHP tag and throw all your code in there, and it's just like a normal HTML tag. And then you can echo and output stuff from that tag. So that's very strange, but very useful. So
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be dangerous, though? I mean, so your browser automatically runs this PHP code, and isn't there instances where it can do bad things?
Well, no, PHP is only server-side.
Right.
So it runs on the server, executes, and then just adds whatever output to the general HTML file before it sends it to you.
Oh, okay. So it's not actually on...
Right.
Okay. Alright.
And so there are actually two ways of doing PHP, which I've seen, two completely different styles. One is the normal, if you have an HTML file, and then we're adding a tag here, which is going to output something, and we're going to, it's filled with HTML, and then there are just tags sparse throughout it. And the other way is just taking the entire thing, one big PHP tag, and outputting the text from within PHP, or outputting the HTML from within PHP. And they're just completely different styles, and I have no idea if one's better than the other. I can only assume that it would be better if you had one big PHP tag, because you're only initializing the PHP engine once. But that's just assumption. I haven't done any speed tests or anything. So,
and with the speeds like computers are at today, I don't think it would really matter.
Yeah.
You have to run like really, really slow hardware before you might notice.
Yeah, like you can load up PHP Nuke, which is the content management system in PHP, which is so completely bloated it's not funny. And it'll say like page generated in 0.032 seconds.
Yeah. PHP Nuke, though, I wouldn't recommend it because there's a lot of vulnerabilities.
Yeah. I have a guy that wanted a PHP Nuke-like system, and so I took PHP Nuke and I'm in the middle of rewiring it, so it's not a vulnerable system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very old program.
What's so vulnerable about it, though? I mean,
well, one of the things I don't like is in PHP, before version 4.2.0, there was this thing called register global, which was on, which means if you send it a variable through a get statement or a post statement, that variable is automatically parsed, and it's now accessible from within the program. Right, so if you're looking for variable Bob, right, if it's sent through a post statement, you just say, if Bob equals 1, then do this. If Bob equals 2, do this.
Right.
And so if you're looking for a specific variable to, let's say, authenticate a user, if user equals something, then show them the user page. If it doesn't equal anything, show them the anonymous page. Well, you can send it, a value for user, which can then trick it into thinking you're an authenticated user,
mm-hmm.
which is very bad. So, to stop this, PHP 4.2.0 disable the register globals function. And to combat this, now this made PHP Nuke not work because it was based on this old system that worked that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get around this, in PHP Nuke, they automatically register the globals. So your compiler, your PHP engine is secure, but PHP Nuke makes it insecure by saying all the post variables and all the get variables and all the cookie variables, just going to register them into normal variables, as if register globals was on.
But that's just dumb on their part. I mean,
well, yeah, it's dumb, but with PHP Nuke, there are like 50 files that they would have to edit and write out the post and get variables explicitly. So instead of doing that, they just added three lines of code to do it. So it's very lazy and dumb, but that's just how they did it.
So instead of actually fixing their software so that it was secure, taking the time to edit those, what do you say, 50 files, they just took the easy way out?
Yeah.
And the only alternative to not doing anything was that PHP Nuke would just stop working.
Right.
Well, then why didn't they just tell everyone to just back, like, go to a back version, stay before that?
Well, they could, and...
They should.
And you can download PHP 5, and in the php.ini file, you can say register globals. So it behaves like PHP did before 4.2.0.
It makes it easier on the user's part, so they don't have to, like, backdate.
Yeah.
Is it all?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So, you want me to talk about Hope now?
Yes, please.
Go for Hope.
All right, well, that's a long-ass story. Okay. I'll start from when I left. I had to leave my house a day early before we left because I was going to get tempted for termites. It was a pain in the ass just to, like, get everything out of the house, or all the food and, like, all the animals and anything you don't want dead. And then we stayed at a hotel locally for a night. Left the next morning. We got a direct flight on Song, which on Song, I like the airline a lot because they have, like, a little TV in every seat, even in coach. And they have, like, a GPS on it so you could, like, see your plane flying across the country.
Okay, could I go into, like, a little side rant real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I was watching a show on PBS about airline safety.
Yeah.
And they had this problem with fuel return lines containing too much fuel, like, just to return the air, and they were having planes blow up because of it. And instead of installing this, like, $1,000 part that weighed 200 pounds, I believe it was, or maybe 2,000 or something. Okay, let's say it weighed 2,000 and it was $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of installing that and saving all of these planes from blowing up, they said, no, we're not going to do it. You know what they did a couple years later?
Installed the entertainment system.
Yes, they put 10 grand and like 10 tons worth of cables and TVs and DVD players in
there,
and they're still not safe.
Yeah, that's all. That's Egypt Air.
That's all of them.
No, it's just Egypt Air. It's the one airline, because of the entertainment system, some of the wires, like rubber or whatever, they melted and they caught fire and the whole plane burned down and crashed.
Yeah. So
they fixed that, but
anyway.
Okay. Top Song. It's pretty cool because you can, like, you can't choose the MP3s you want to listen to. Like, you can't go on the web and download them or anything, but they have, like, pre-compiled lists for, like, different categories of music.
Yeah,
and
good.
No, none of them were really good. I just watched Tech TV. They had, like, Dish TV.
Yeah.
And before we're taking off, like, it was raining when I was leaving, and the signal was being interrupted, and I was seeing all these error messages from Dish Network, like saying transceiver, trying to find different satellites, and I was reading all that, and it was definitely interesting. But...
Nice.
And, so anyway, we landed in JFK, and we took the AirTran, it's like a train, to the subway station. Then we took, like, it was a whole, we rode the subway for like a freaking hour because we're all the way in the middle of Queens. We had to get all the way to downtown New York, so it took like 45 minutes on the subway. And, like, with our suitcase there, I'm staring at us weird. I stayed in the Hotel New Yorker, which is, like, a block away from the Hotel Pennsylvania where the conference was being held. So, I got there on, like, Thursday. No, I got there Wednesday, and the conference wasn't until Friday. So, I just, like, went around Salt Lake City until Friday. And Friday, I registered, Thursday night, like, I thought there'd be a crowd or whatever, so I missed, so just registered early. And I met, Cheshire, and he called that I was from Tampa, and he was like, oh, I used to live there, and whatever, and I was cool. And so,
Cheshire, the guy from PLA?
No, Cheshire Catalyst, gray-haired.
Okay, well, I've seen some pictures of him on, the PLA posted.
Right, yeah,
I thought he might have been.
No, he's not with Billy. He's got a thing.
Okay.
He was friends with John Draper. Or Captain French, whatever it was called. Alright, so then I just, like, looked around. Nothing was really set up yet. And, so I came back Friday morning to the first, speech by Robert Steele on hacking and national intelligence or whatever. It's basically just a rant. It's a good rant. All the rants are pretty good. Let me get a program sheet. Where the crap I went to. Okay. Yeah, first one's that. And then, nothing was really set up the first day. I mean, the network was just being set up, and I think the public terminals were working. And they, to prevent people from fucking with the network, they use Token Ring. And I don't know if you guys know what Token Ring is.
I'm not familiar with it.
You're familiar with it?
Yeah.
All right, so the wired network, they use Token Ring, so no one knew. I mean, I think they did say on the wiki that they're going to use Token Ring. Only one person brought a Token Ring adapter, so, like, the network guys would laugh and watch people plug in their laptop, nothing happening. But then they did have a wireless network, and the guy that wrote Kismet, Dragorn or whatever, he was there, and he ran the wireless part of the wireless network. He was on, like, a panel of people. And he actually wrote, I don't know what he wrote, but he wrote, like, a script that was in the firewall or something. And when people would attack the network, like, he'd attack back. Like, there's an automated script that automatically attacked back into a SIM flood on the computer that was doing, like, ARP cache poisoning or, like, different stuff. And so it was automatically, like, if someone, alright, here's what it is. If someone set up a fake, like, DNS server, and so everyone that was on the wireless network trying to go out would actually go to that laptop, he made, like, an addition to Kismet or something that would find them and spin flood them and crash them down. But he realized that that was actually taking up more of the network bandwidth than just letting them do what they want and actually closing them. And they had some, like, statistic on how many packets a second were going through the air, and it was, like, I don't remember the exact number, but it was well over, like, 1,000 or something. It was, like, really high, and it was pretty cool. And they had all these, like, graphs and stuff with all the network activity at the end of the conference. That was pretty cool. But then I went to I went to Kevin Mitnick's keynote, and it was really, really packed. Like, the whole conference room was full of people. And am I talking loud enough?
Yeah.
All right. Just making sure. The whole conference room was full of people, and I'm not sure that during the Kevin Mitnick's keynote they simulcasted it, but. What they would do is, during the keynote speeches, so many people went to see them that on the speeches were all held on the 18th floor, and on the second floor they had, like, a little movie theater set up, and they simulcast it down there to be able to launch. That's where I saw Wozniak's speech, because there's so many people. And on the second floor, there was a lockpicking workshop, which I hung out at a lot. And then there was the movie theater and the network. And then on the 18th floor, there's two of the conference rooms and the unscheduled conference room where people could sign up ahead of time and do their speeches and hour blocks. And then there was the vendor area, and that was all of it. But then the different speeches I went to was Kevin Mitnick, like I said, and I didn't go to the off-the-hook special broadcast, but I did go to How the Great Firewall Works. That's about China's firewall and about that situation. That was interesting. And I went to the PLA's speech panel show thing. It wasn't very well organized, but it was entertaining. I mean, they played their little prank clips and some of the video, and at the end, they gave out the PLA Media CD, and it was a massive rush to the front. It's funny, all right? This one guy, like, they're still speaking. They have, like, 10 minutes left. This one guy gets up, looks embarrassed because he's getting up and, like, walks towards the front and grabs one CD and walks away and leaves. Then, like, everyone slowly rises, and then, like, everyone just, like, mob formation to the front of the podium and, like, takes them down, and everyone grabs CDs, and goes crazy. And
yeah, if you look on the post Murdoch made, they had a picture of that, and there was one guy trying to keep order.
Yeah.
And he's, like, standing off to the side with his hands out, and everyone's just running around.
I was in there somewhere. I got a CD. I was in there somewhere. Like, I ran up there, but I got one. And then, that was fun. But then, what else did I went to, like, oh, shit. Well, I bought a lockpicking set, 11 pieces, and I learned a lockpick. I'm not very good yet. I can only pick, like, 4-pin wafer, like, I can pick the locks on, like, filing cabinets and desks and stuff. But
I've picked those locks with paper clips before.
Yeah. Well, there's this one I have that's pretty hard to do. And, like, I picked this lock on my mom's desk, and I locked it. And there wasn't a key for it, so I was, kind of scared because I get in trouble if, like, she couldn't get through her work, so I had to, like, pick it again. Oh, it was a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah. If you want to hear a little short story about me lockpicking, those paper clips that I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
In one of my classes last year, there were a whole bunch of cabinets like that with little locks on. And it took me, like, 2 days, in this class, all I did was try and pick my own lock. And then I finally got it, and I tried all the other ones right around me. I could get, like, half of them with these paper clips.
Yeah, some of the cabinet locks are only, like, 2-pin locks or 1-pin, even. And, but it's amazingly much more easier if you have the right tools. I've tried paper clips, successfully picked, like, really, really cheap 1-pin. I just shove something in there and it opens, but it's definitely a skill. You have to learn it. But I met the guy that is in charge of Tool.nl. It's the open organization of lockpickers, and he was at HDK2 and did a speech on it, lockpicking also, and he's very good, and I met him, and I met all these other people. And I have the video of HDK. There's actually videos, lockpicking workshop videos from past conferences on tool.nl. So it's TOOOL.NL. And you click on English version, and you go to, like, lockpicking workshop, and there's two past Hope conference videos of him doing his lockpick speeches. And those are very good videos. I watched both of them. I watched one of them. One of the other ones in, like, Windows Media format, which really pissed me off because there's a lot of people that have shows in Windows Media Video or whatever, and I can't watch them on Linux. That pisses me off.
Such as Lightsword?
Lightsword, yeah. I really want to watch those, but I can't. Well, I think there is a way that I can, but I'm lazy and I'm a noob, so I can't.
I remember hearing something about Microsoft is selling Windows Media Player
ATM file or something?
I have no idea. I just remember hearing that it was being sold.
Yeah, I tried to run Windows Media Player in line, and it brought up this install screen, like you have to register it or something, which is pretty much just click yes a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to run it again, and it said some file was missing, so. But yeah, that didn't work.
Oh. All right, well. Anyway. So that was like the first day, and first day wasn't that great, but that was kind of a mimic speech, and after that, I got him to sign, I got my picture with him, and I took a picture, Hasselhoff, I don't know if any of you know him, I really didn't know him before the conference either, but he's on the BidRev forums, and we were in line for Kevin Mitnick to sign our books and crap, and we got up there, and I tried to take a picture of him, but his digital camera wasn't working, so I took a picture of him. So I got a PM or email him that picture. But I got my picture of Kevin Mitnick, and I got Freedom Valentine, I had the DVD, and I got that signed, and I got, like, his new book signed.
Okay, on Freedom Valentine and DVD, is it thick so that it's actually watchable?
Oh, it's very watchable. The version you saw was a very shitty quality.
Yeah, I had to watch that on my TV because on my monitor it was just either white or black. I think my TV like distilled most of it so I could see it. Yeah, it was pretty much just...
The DVD is very high quality. I mean, some of the scenes you could tell were filmed bad, I mean, because, you know, they're like old, off old film, but it's much more better quality. I mean, you could project it on a movie screen and watch it.
Nice.
So... The DVD is interesting. I mean, there's a bunch of hidden features. I've only found, like, one or two and don't really remember how I found them. But it says on the back that there's, like, games and, like, all this hidden crap. And
well, you know, if you were to rip it, you would probably find them all. Because there was CKY4 that had, like, a whole bunch of secret stuff. And once I ripped my copy of it to watch it on Windows, because it wouldn't play. Yeah, let's say that. I found all the hidden stuff.
How? But then, like, directories and stuff?
No, it's...
Okay, a separate file.
Yeah. They're separate, like, video files. Separate chapters, you could say.
Oh. All right, well, I'll look at that later.
Yeah, you must own it, or something. I don't know what the law is, but I own it, so screw off if you're going to suck crap.
All right, so that was, like, the first day, kind of, I guess. The second day, I didn't wake up very early. I mean, there was a whole lockpicking track, or whatever you want to call it, for 2 hours, and I missed that. And I missed Freaking in the Early Days, which I wanted to see. It was with Captain Crunch and Cheshire Catalyst, and I don't know if Wozniak was on there or not. But I caught, like, the last 30 to 45 minutes of Wozniak's speech, and then the rest of the day was very full of fun. I went to... Thank Dog speech, and,
Well, were any of these any good?
Yes, they're all good.
Okay. Because you're saying you went there, you're not explaining much.
Oh, you want me to explain?
Sure. We got time to fill.
Alright, well, okay, I'll explain Kevin Mitnick's speech. He told his story. Alright, next. No. He actually told some of the things that were never told before, like, he confirmed myths and dispelled rumors. And
yeah, but under some weird agreement, he's not allowed to talk about the events leading up to his arrest for, like, 12 years or something like that.
Right, right. He didn't say, like, exactly... He didn't talk about the cell phone thing, like, where they tracked him down or whatever. He didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about... he didn't talk about a lot, but he talked about while he was in prison. And he talked about... stuff that happened to him in prison. He didn't talk about what led up to his arrest.
And also I heard that he's coming up with a book of other people's...
that's already out.
Really?
It's, How to Own the Network. It's like, it's different, especially like 3 or 4 books. It's, the second one is released. I only have the second one. It's How to Own the Continent. And one before that is How to Own the Box.
And there was, like The Art of Deception.
That's his first book.
Right. And he's coming out with one called The Art of Intrusion.
Oh.
Which is just going to be like other people telling their hack story.
co-author of this series of books, and it's called How to Own the Network. And it's like the same kind of basic stories, and I have the second one in some chapter, or I don't know. I like the second one. And I don't know how many are out, but I know the first one's out. And so, yeah.
So what was Tank Dog's speech like?
It was good, dry, but full of information. I don't know how to say it any other way.
He did say it would be quite boring and expected to see some people asleep.
Yeah, I had to wake people up a couple times. A lot of people slept. no, not a lot. I mean, there's like, if you look around, you see like two or three, like, you know, nodding their heads, but, you know, it's the second day and people are
asleep that night.
Right. But, if you stayed awake, which I did, I got a lot from it. Learned about the AS-400. I mean, it was an overall good speech on information-wise. And, like, but, I mean, it wasn't like the POAs, like, let's go to this speech and, like, you know, laugh and have fun and, like, you know, joke around. It wasn't...
Well, that's, like, what Tank Dog does. Provides the information.
Right. It was a serious... but it was good. And then there was the Cult of the Dead Cow, and I only caught, like, the first part of that. I caught, like, the first hour or 45 minutes of that. And it was some lady from China, or she's on some, it was about hacktivism is what it was. And it wasn't as wild as their other past, I've heard of, like, stuff, so. But it was interesting, and then I went to Hacker Radio, which I think was the best.
Because?
Yes. Oh, because, of course. But Hacker Radio was my second favorite, I don't know. Joe's keynote was very, very good, and it was either between Hacker Radio or Joe to get first. I'm not sure. But I'll talk about Hacker Radio. It was by Flip Mode, and it talked about Alternative E and the Hacker Radio, which we're doing now. And Duel was there, Stink Dog was there, Flip Mode. That was, like, the panel, people. And it started off with Flip Mode. They talked about different ways to record, and why it's important that we have different media sources, and stuff. But Duel said it so well, and he ranted, like, that how Hacker Radio is the most important thing to have, that because it's an alternative media source, and most of the other stuff out there is largely bullshit. Like, in the elevators at Pennsylvania Hotel, they actually have a little TV, and they pump, like, advertisements and all this other stuff, and it never got hacked, but people would put, like, cut out with, like, quotes from famous people saying how the media is corrupt and bullshit and don't believe this crap kind of stuff, question what you're told. So, I mean, it was a fun environment, but Duel said that all the different radio shows are very important, and the people do listen, don't think that people don't. And his little quote made, I mean, I was on RFA, and I said that because of that, it makes me want to, like, you know, do better and do some radio and stuff because it's an important outlet. Then Stank Dog had trouble following what Duel said because Duel just, you know, took it away.
As he usually does.
Yeah, but Stank Dog, like, he said that he listened to all, like, okay, Flipmode has a list of radio shows on this one board, and places to start, and he actually said hackermedia.net was one of the places to start, and he didn't know anything about it, really. He said he's never met Kizzle or talked to Kizzle, I don't think, and he just said at the bottom of the site says that he just set up a radio show, but, yeah, so he put hackermedia on there. I mean, I saw people writing it down, and different links and stuff, and so, I mean, I'm sure it brought a couple, at least a few, if not many, people to VinRev, and I'm sure a lot of people brought the VinRev because he sold all his magazines, VinRev, the new one, because in the PLA, I don't know if PLA mentioned Binrev, but a lot of people mentioned Binrev, and Hack TV wasn't played, which I was disappointed. I wanted to see.
I thought he gave the guy that was down there the DVD, told him to play it.
He did?
Well, I was listening to Default Radio when someone said that Stank gave him the DVD for Hack TV down there in the media room or whatever.
Well, I never saw it, and it wasn't on the list of scheduled shows, so but it might have been played, I'm not sure. But on Hacker Radio, there was a list of radio shows, and there was the first one was Slipknot's radio show.
In the Now?
Yeah. And the second one was RFA, third is Binrev, fourth was Default, and the fifth is Default Today, Daily, or whatever, Default Daily. And then sixth one was Uberlito. And the last one was DTMF Radio, so.
Okay. Those looked like they were going in order of coolness.
Yeah.
How far was the bottom? Was that like 10 or was that like 100?
No, that DTMF Radio was at the bottom. There was only like 8 or 9 shows.
Okay.
So, I guess it's appropriate.
I don't know. I know a lot of shows that fit in there in between. Okay.
No. I mean, he was doing Hacker Radio. It's something with name Gamer Radio or whatever. He didn't listen though.
Hey.
No, I'm not against Gamer Radio. I'm just saying that he wanted to listen Hacker Radio. And so.
Okay.
But, so after Hacker Radio, immediately, RSA 76 was recorded on the second floor. And, so, I mean, I saw a bunch of people, so I'm not a Sub-Zero. I saw everyone. And,
yeah, you're going to have to go real in-depth about this recording, because I haven't heard it yet, and I want to hear everything I can about it. It should be very good.
All right. So, yeah, we recorded our RFA, and then I went to bed, and then next day, Okay, well, all right, for RFA 76, all right, dual recorded on his laptop, that he never recorded on, so it was kind of scary. And, he used Audacity. And, that sounds it, and, alright, not really.
Like, who all was there?
There's a lot of people that I've never known before that I don't think, because at the end of Hacker Radio, he announced that he was going to record RFA 76, that missing episode, because he said, Land was stoned or something, and they didn't record it. So, after that, he announced it, and there was still a bunch of people to go over there. We all rushed and grabbed the chair. We stole the chairs in the lockpicking workshop, and everyone was pissed. We're like, hey, what are you doing with the chairs? And we like, ran off with them. And so, we set up, like, around the, we all set up around the table, and Dual Stink Dog and Flip Motors in there, and, Dual started recording, and, well, like, there was, like, oh, I don't know, like, 50 people at most, but no less than 25. There was a lot of people there. And, Jules' wife was there, and, there was a lot of people there. It's like, not a... Shit, I can't name them. There was fucking a lot. Logan Files was there, and, Sub-Zero was there, Kitchen was there.
Okay, I have a question. Was Duel drunk at any point? Like, during the weekend?
I don't know.
Because the pictures you put up on Old School Freak, most of them look like he's drunk.
He might have been...
He could be a happy guy, I don't know.
Yeah, he's very happy, I guess. He did seem a little hippy-go-lucky.
Okay.
But, so, they recorded, and during the first, like, 5 minutes, Captain Crunch pokes his head around the corner.
Oh, God.
He's so goofy and funny looking there. He, like, pokes his head around the corner, and he's all, like, old man, like, you know, not know where he is kind of thing. And, like, you know how they walk, like, you know how they, like, bobble a little or whatever.
He's gonna kill you in your sleep, you realize that.
Why?
You're making fun of him.
No, I respect him. I like him a lot. It's just, you know, he's funny. Not in an intentional way.
No, he just strikes me as an odd Muppet.
Yeah.
That's just the impression I get from
him. No, but just, like, before that, there was actually a really, really funny thing in the bathroom. Someone printed out a picture. You know that picture thing on the internet where he's, like, all creepy looking?
Yeah.
He's like, not the younger picture, it's like a recent picture where he's all old.
Okay, well, we'll put it up in the show notes.
The picture?
You'll have to find it.
I don't know where it is.
Well, get cracking.
I'll find it, I guess.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Alright, but it says Captain Crunch is watching you poop. And people, like, put all over the bathroom. I put those.
Awesome.
But, and, so we're recording, and he pokes his head around the corner, he's like, "Ooh, what's going on here?" And, Joel's like, "Oh my god, it's Captain Crunch, the man that started the freaking scene." And, so he invited him to come sit down, and he took Stink Dog's seat. Stink Dog was, like, squatting on the ground for, like, 45 minutes to tell him he was tired. Everyone was taking pictures of him, and Captain Crunch told his story, and, but he wanted to hear some of our stories, so Nod has told him some stuff about how red boxing isn't really dead if you do. And he was excited, and, you know, mm-hmm,
doesn't it, like, only work on Verizon?
Yeah, you have to do, like, Interlada or whatever, and, so, and then, basically the whole show was Captain Crunch, but, no, it wasn't that, I mean, there was like 30 minutes of, Duel doing stuff and talking.
How long was it, like an hour, 2 hours, all night?
Hour, 45 minutes, my rough guess, I'm not sure. But, so, yeah. And then we, like, he passed around the mic for everyone to say stuff, and I said stuff, and everyone said stuff. And then Duel's wife got on, and she's like, "Hi, Mrs. Carol, Duel does not get to cafe at home," and everyone laughed at him.
She was paid to say that.
Oh, probably. I don't know. But, it was funny, and it was a good time. And then they gave out stuff at the end, and I forgot what they gave out. They gave out, Bin Red Magazine, RFA stickers, which I got one.
RFA or Old School Free?
Radio Free America, the ones that aren't made anymore.
Okay.
And little square black ones. And then, what else?
Well, you're going to have to scan those or something before you use them.
Why?
Well, I'd like to make some.
They're on his website. Like,
oh.
I think.
Okay. Like the images are on his website?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, he gave out, like, a Statue of Liberty necklace. And then, there were a lot of trivia questions. And then, I think it was either Nodis, I'm not sure, had stuff, like, just to grab and go. I kind of gave out, first, I held up a shortwave radio. And I'm like, "Oh my god, I need one of those," but he gave it to me. And so then I left, and I'm not sure what else he gave out.
That means he likes you.
Yeah. I grabbed it and ran. I'm like, "Okay, god," and like ran away and left.
You went in the bathroom and just held on to it?
Yeah. I didn't come back, though.
That's when all the cool stuff happened, see?
Yeah, I know. I left.
What kind of reporter are you? We sent you to New York.
I regret it. I ran away so he wouldn't have second thoughts. Hey, what are you losers doing?
I'm going for the best.
So, it was fun. And then the next day, I came, I saw my concert. So, next day, woke up.
I thought you didn't sleep.
No, I fucking slept, man. I didn't sleep, like, for 2 nights. Then I caught the end of Retro Computing, and that was a speech by Steve Wozniak and some other people. And then after that was Urban Explorer. Retro Computing was kind of boring. It wasn't really interesting. And then, they were on Urban Exploring in New York, and that was really cool. That was a good speech. It was by like a brother and sister, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, I think they all brother and sister. And they talked about her being exploring and the legalities and the techniques and all that stuff. And so that was pretty cool, and I had little videos, and then Jello talked, and Jello, he's like the best, I don't know, he was like the best keynote edible, and he talked about everything. He talked about, like, how great it is, and, like, all this other shit, and, had t-shirts that fuck the war, and, I don't know, it was really good, you know, everyone enjoyed it. I mean, even if people weren't agreeing with his views. And then there was the social engineering panel by Emmanuel Goldstein and Kevin Mitnick. But Emmanuel did all the social engineering, which kind of disappointed me, because I wanted to see Kevin Mitnick do something, but he didn't do anything.
And did they, like, help people up, right?
Yeah, he called up Taco Bell, and the first Taco Bell he called, the guy was, like, really fucking retarded, alright? He called him up, and he's like, oh, hi, I'm, like, Chris Johnson from Taco Bell headquarters here in Illinois, and, we're having troubles with the cash register. I need you to give the cash register or your store ID number. The guy's like, damn, what's the store ID? He's like, totally fucking retarded. This is a manager, too. And the guy did not know his store ID number, so he gave him some number off the receipt, which wouldn't surprise me if it was the price the last meal paid. Right, this guy was so fucking dumb. And everyone was about to laugh, but they couldn't laugh because, like, kids on the phone, so once you have them, everyone will laugh or whatever. But then, called another Taco Bell and did the same little spiel and got the actual store number. And he got the guy to actually close the store for 5 minutes. But no, he didn't actually close the store. He, like, told him to, oh, yeah, we're going to update the firmware in your cash register, so we're going to need you to not use cash registers for 5 minutes between the times of 9 to 9:05. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. He gave out the address to Taco Bell to be able to go there and see what happened.
I was safe to assume
he probably did. But the guy actually blew him because he's like, Emmanuel called him. He's like, yeah, we heard there's characters of problems. And the guy's like, yeah, some guy called 30 minutes ago about that. And he said he fixed it. So I guess they actually were having characters of problems. So it's a little bit more viable, I guess. And they got him to shut down. Then the manual calls, like, Visa, and they try to get the direct dial-in number for, like, the India helpline or whatever. And I think he did get it, but it took him forever. He was transferred around to, like, people all over the fucking place. He was transferred all across the world. And he finally got the number. I'm not sure he did, but he got, like, the address. And then I went out to eat. I came back, I went to the Hope closing ceremony, but I gave out everything, and I got nothing. But it was fun because they actually used, you know, punch cards? I don't know if they went through this, but Refox, I don't know if you know about them.
What, punch cards?
Like,
yeah, they were used from, like, 1950 to 1978.
Right. That's what they gave out, and they all had, shit, I'm going to go grab mine. On the top there's the 5th Hope, July 9th-11-04, Hotel Pennsylvania, New York City, USA, cyber terrorist suspect, and my number was 0185. And so they did, well, at first, they didn't think through on how to get the random number, so people brought up Dungeons and Dragons dice, and it wasn't really working, because people were saying, come here, that's all their crap.
It's not totally random.
Yeah. So, I yell out, I'm like, write a random number generator, and that's the best idea I've heard all day. And so they write up one on the fly, command line random number generator, using like three different languages, calling different commands. And they got it to random numbers. It wasn't really working very well.
How long did it take for them to write this thing?
Like, 5 minutes.
Cool.
They had like 30 guys.
Most languages have a random number generator built in. So
right.
All you have to do is see if they can call it.
Right. There was like a two lines of commands. And so they got that. And so they don't make numbers. And then I didn't win. So. Yep. That was, but, you know, I got a bunch of other little stories, and, like, the vendor area. I mean, I got hacked this zine, the magazine, by the guys that hacked this site. It's pretty interesting. Their views are a little extreme. I mean, it's all good and fair in the world of free speech. So I bought the magazine. And then I got the Radical Future issue 5 printed version. What's the most recent issue, do you know? For Radical Future by Sub-Zero and Tiffany? Do you know the most recent issue?
No.
I got issue 5, whatever that means.
I didn't even know they were doing that.
Oh. They print a magazine. And then I got Stealing the Network, How to Own a Continent. And it's by President and CEO, it has a foreword by the President and CEO of Black Hat Inc. And it has technical reviewer of Kevin Mitnick. And it's a good book. So here's the description. The first cyber thriller in this series, Stealing the Network, How to Own the Box, was called a blockbuster by Wired Magazine. This sequel, written by today's leading security and counterterrorism expert, operates on a truly global stage and network infrastructure. And
whoa. Counter security, or was that counterterrorist? What was that?
Counterterrorism.
I'll just let that one go.
Why?
Never mind, keep going.
Infrastructure of an entire continent is compromised. So, talking about how to bring down an entire security of a continent, I guess. I haven't really read it yet, but I bought it. And then I got this one book, which I really want to read. It's called Wicked Cool Shell Scripts by Dave Taylor. And it has 101 scripts for Linux, Mac, OS X, and Unix systems. And it's all these little shell scripts on how to do stuff. And there's a little quote that says, truly fun and unique. Flashed a 10 out of 10. So
it can't be as cool as Rain.
Well, I'll probably be able to write Rain with this book, man.
Uh-oh.
I'll be owning your box.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got this other book, which I started to read, and it's Hacking the Art of Exploitation by John Aronson. And quote tops is finally a book that does not just show how to use the exploits, but actually how to develop them.
Okay, hold on. Can you guys hear that noise?
What noise?
There's like this bug. I swear he's a bomb about to go off. He's sitting here squealing.
What?
Okay, just keep going.
He's hearing things.
Right.
I'm not hearing it. I'm sitting outside.
This book is very good. But I have to admit, too, as all the books that are being sold were 40% or 30% off. Actually, I don't know. This one might have actually been 60% off. I'm not sure. But all the books are really, like, good deals. For like their when their like market retail value is like $60, I got them for like 30 or like 20. And what? Huh? What?
I just said cool.
Okay. But
so is that all the vendors had? Just books to sell?
No, t-shirts, books, caffeinated mints, candies, stickers, posters. Magazines. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, and Hairball is giving out free launch CDs from like this place. And I gave $1 to HBS. So. Yep, cool, cool. And then I got the most recent issue of FinRev, which is really interesting. I really want to write this Perl script. It's called a Spy Not Fury, and it's the Perl script to spoof the caller ID. Like, you don't even have to have the voiceover IP phone, like the Pac-8 phone. You just have to have an internet connection. And you find the IP of someone that has a Pac-8 phone and spoofs any number you want to it, and it makes it ring, like, until it picks up, supposedly. I haven't got to try because I'm lazy ass and I won't write out the script. And then I got the most recent 2600 magazine. And it's pretty good. And there's a little secret I have about it. Everyone found it out at the conference. On the cover of the past issue with Army Man on it, holding the box of blue boxes,
yeah.
If you tilt it, on the Army Man's helmet, it says honor. And then on this one, the most recent one, if you tilt it in the top right corner, it says obey. Just to let you know. Don't really know what's going on. But yep, yep.
Okay.
Pretty cool crap. All right.
Subliminal advertising.
Yeah. And then, what else? I burnt your DVD.
My DVD?
Yeah, the Linux ISO DVD.
What?
Black Horse Hen and Red Hat, or Fedora Core 2, I think. I'm not sure. Some other stuff.
Hmm. Why'd you put Slack on there?
I thought you wanted it.
I've been telling you, like, every time I talk to you, Slack 10 rules.
Slack 10 is on there.
Well,
you already had Slack 10. I gave him Slack 10 at the last 2600.
Yeah. I said Reflex gave me Slack 10. Like, as soon as you got home, I was like, oh my god, Slack 10 rocks. Reflex is God.
God damn it. Okay, whatever. Fine. I'll keep it for myself.
I'll take it. I'll just, like, check our copy of the Fedora ISOs. I'll just, like.
You have Fedora ISOs too?
No, after I copy them off that DVD, I'll just pass it on to someone else. Someone that doesn't have either one.
Alright, whatever. I'll mail it to you.
Yeah, and if anyone wants, like, Slack 9-1, I have an own CD from someplace in France. Yeah. Give that somebody. Anyway.
Alright, well, after the network was closed at the end of Hope, they gave away all the computers that were in there, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, it was, like, again, a massive rush from the closed ceremony to the network levels, and everyone grabs the computers and, like, runs out the door.
What kind of computers were they?
They weren't. They're Pentium, like, 4060s. They're, like, fucking shitty.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that number didn't compute. What was that again?
Like, 446? I'm guessing the number. I'm just, like, remembering.
I don't know. Pentium
1? No, well, they weren't. And they might have been Pentium 1.
Before
not,
that, I don't know.
They're shitty as hell. I mean, they weren't actually running the stuff off themselves. They were actually, like, running the distro off the server.
It was just dumb terminals.
Right, they're terminals.
And so they were pre-Pentium, you mean 486s?
Yeah, I think they might have been that. They didn't have CD drives, right?
Well, they can. It's just an ID drive you can plug in. Uh-huh. But they can't boot off of them because they're so damn old.
Right. So, they're running FreeBSD, FreeBSD 96 or 95. And,
That, again, does not compute.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out in, like, your distros. It's
well, when you click into the little stuff, it says FreeBSD 95.
Moving along.
Don't diss my Nubis, alright? You don't understand. The guy's like, yeah, I wrote my own custom distribution at HKK2, and so now I'm using it again, and you have to, like, log in, create your username, and then when you get the X window system, it comes up and it says FreeBSD 95.
Okay. So this isn't like a stock distro, this is some hack version.
Probably, alright? Don't. You can ask people that went there, alright? I'm not lying here. It's what it said.
Alright. Calm down.
I don't
tell anybody.
That was fun. They had, like, Atari, and you could play on the Ataris, and they had, like, Mac 2s. You could play on the Mac 2s, and they had some ancient app, like Zenith Terminal, and running a... Oh, shit, what was it?
XP?
No.
You're just making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up. And it was running, like, a version of NetPSD or FreeBSD, I'm not sure.
It's okay, man.
And then they had, like, it was pretty cool because in the media room, all right, they had, like, it was all black because they, like, put a big black canvas and stuff, so it was all dark in there. And they had, like, the movie screen and... I don't know how they're doing the picture. It must have been a projector somewhere, but I can't find it. And,
maybe it was backlit.
Maybe.
Back, yeah.
So, they had, like, two guys, like, sitting there running it, and it was another custom distribution, and it would call the file for play off the server somewhere. and they had DVD players. But you could actually call those programs from terminals in the network room like, to watch them there, too. Like, they actually had, like, little terminals and, like, type the file name. And so you could, like, watch videos wherever you wanted. That was pretty cool.
You could just rip them all or something?
Could have what?
Rip them all.
They weren't mostly off DVDs. They were being played off the server, like, on a... Someone brought their big-ass tower... And they did. All right, they weren't playing off DVD. They only played Revolution OS off DVD. I think. Yeah, don't fight me. All right. And then I bought a poster that it's all the posters that were there. Big Brother is watching you. Pretty cool poster. And then, yep. That was about it.
Okay.
Got home. Got on the net, even through tips at me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
It was fun, but then again, I'd like to go again. Oh, did I mention the armbands?
No.
They didn't have badges this year. They had armbands, like little Hitler armbands.
Oh, Hitler armbands. I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They're like gray.
The black. Oh,
yeah.
Some people had gray ones, like the speakers had gray, and like the
menial
had a red one, but all the other people had black. And I had a black. Mm-hmm. And it was pain in the ass. Nice original idea. But a lot of people, like, you know, I mean, they worked. I mean, they're a pain in the ass. Because it, like, slipped off your arm and, like, fell all over the place. And you saw people doing very innovative things, like having them on their ankles, wearing them on the neck.
Headband, yeah.
Well, you have to have a small head to get around there, but...
Yeah, some people have them, like, tied to their necklace or their past old badges from HGK2, and, like... So, everyone is doing different things. So, yeah, the blast, they hit Hope 5.
Did you keep it?
Yeah, I kept it.
Okay.
Did you steal others?
No, I didn't steal others.
You did. Then we could have a whole little cult of...
Then we could all wear them to the next 2600 meeting and get thrown out of the mall.
Maybe. Yeah. No, but, like, you know, they look kind of odd. You definitely look like some kind of cult member when you're walking around with it on.
Well, if everyone else is wearing it, why does it bother you? Can't you just fit in?
I can't even fit in with the head of the crowd around.
So, that's all you got for Hope?
Pretty much. I mean, you can ask me questions.
I don't have any questions. Are you back? You got any questions?
No. I'm out.
Okay. I guess that's it. What are we going to do about this 12 song? Should we play that for the outro?
Sure. Play it away.
Okay, so.
12.
Twirls was drunk, and I got him on the phone. He said some weird stuff. Now, we were talking for like 45 minutes, okay? And I listened for like the first 10 minutes and took like 25 samples out of there and saying stuff, and only used like 10 of those, so I can do many, many more.
But send them all to me, or put them up on the Hacker Media server when I can do
that. Yeah, about the little outtakes thing that I tried to get started, apparently the second one doesn't work.
What
works when you download it using an FTP client, which not everyone can do that. Like, I can download it, and I can listen to it and tell everyone, like, yeah, it works. But
what?
Outtake2.mp3 doesn't work.
Worked for me.
Well, everyone else keeps yelling at me. So,
who knew?
That's our listeners, man.
You are all new to listening to this new jam.
G-Virus and Twirls. Both of them are mad at him.
Who listens?
G-Virus and Twirls.
Well,
shouts to them.
Well, Stank Dog said he listens.
That's all lies.
He said he listened. He doesn't say he listened.
He, like, looked at the site. He's like a good show. And then went to Uber Lido and listened to them. Yep. So. I guess that's it.
What do you want to use as the intro?
I don't know. Reflex told me something to find him. I think he's crazy.
You can play the banana song. It's, I have both versions that I found.
I played the banana song.
No, your banana song was fucked up, alright?
Mine was like the hardcore death metal banana song.
Yeah, that song. That song. Where did you get that?
A 12 found it. He sent it to me. I was like, I want the banana song. He's like, here, take this. I'm like, what is this? This is what I wanted. He's like, oh, you wanted the original. Yeah.
Well, I got the original, like straight off the CD, and then I got like the sped up, like speedy version. And you can find them both at hackermedia.net.
Stop posting stuff on there.
Kizzle said it was okay. Two fucking MP3s, man. Chill the fuck out. All right, listen. All right, here it is. It's at hackermedia.net/DTMF/banana. And if you're too noob to spell banana, it is E-A-N-A-N-A.
You spelled it wrong.
No, I didn't.
Is this like banana.mp3, or is that like a directory?
It's a directory.
Okay, so you didn't say that.
And it has like two... They're named the same thing, but one starts with uppercase and one starts with lowercase. So you figure it out. I'm a noob, so yeah.
Yep. So... This is it.
No! Alright,
any shouts? Shouts to Reflex for helping me with the Pearl stuff.
I would have to put a shout out to myself for helping him with the Pearl stuff.
Oh, wow. I get shouts to Twirls for being Twirls. And also, if you use DC++, and I recommend you do, go to ddphub.no-ip.com, and that's the DDP hub for DC++. And basically, it's just me and Twirl. You know, I mean, we need some more people.
They're on there sharing their fire eye.
Yeah, we're training each other to gay prawn. You know, yeah, dad one in the dirt.
Well,
no, man, no, seriously, we need more people. I mean, we only got like me and him basically have all the stuff we each have, so we need some more people. Fresh meat, man.
Alright. Well, that's it.
It sounds so bad to leave like this. Hey, wait, I got a question.
Okay.
Does that make you know what shortwave frequency off the hook broadcast on so I can listen to it?
Check the site. Okay. I'm sure it is. It's on the site somewhere.
Well, I got the shortwave radio and I want to listen to off the hook.
Check the site. I'll go ahead and say this. For anyone that uses Slackware, linuxpackages.net or .com, whatever it is, that's the best site in the world. Because if you remember, I was talking about trying to get Wine working,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe I didn't say. But yeah, I downloaded Wine from there. Yeah, it's pre-compiled and everything, so I don't have all my crazy options. But it worked. I spent all of one day trying to get Wine to work and butchered Slackware and Windows. And then, like, this is a whole different install, okay? So, I download that, and, like, I install PKG, and then space, and then I type Wine, and then, like, tab completion, because the file name's, like, a mile long. Anyway, press enter, and then it works. Wine just starts right up. I can do whatever I want. So, yeah, I also got Lame. Lame encoder that worked. I got Apache 2 and the latest PHP working in just a few minutes now. Deleting the old one was a pain in the ass. So
you say that linuxpackages.net is the place to go for your Linux packages needs.
No, for your Slackware package.
They only have Slackware?
I don't know, but I recommend that everyone use Slackware anyway.
Well, fuck you. Study Fedora Core 2 and everything sucks for that, so yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the frequency on shortwave is 7415 kilohertz.
Alright.
There you go. Now, Levi, did you go to the site?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Alright, we're out of here.
Later.
Later.
Hey, it's going to be a great night, dude, and there's no chick to fuck. Thank you. fuck, dude, it's hot here. Maybe I should pay someone. I'm not fucked up. And it's gonna be a great night, dude, and there's no chick to fuck. I'm not fucked up. Do it. Do it. I'm like, fuck that. Dude, my shit's all gone out of my top. I should probably throw it back up. Do it. Do it. I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, fuck that. And it's gonna be a great night, dude, and there's no chicks to fuck. Dude, I'm gonna end up puking. I don't wanna deal with no fucking Macintosh crap. I'm like, fuck that. Don't put Linux on the fucker. Tonight, dude, and there's no